It is 8:17 on this Friday morning as we go now to actually to Cheyenne, but fresh back from Washington. Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis joins us this morning. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
So who are you picking in the games this weekend?
Well, I'm picking Green Bay.
Uh-huh.
And on the other side, the Steelers.
We will see how your picks are. I know that it's you haven't had time to even think about football this week, have you?
No, I haven't. I've been in Washington, and we had organizational meetings for the Appropriations Committee that I'm on. We voted to repeal Obamacare. We had a busy week already in Washington.
Let's talk about that that repeal of Obamacare. And this happens in the House. As the word comes out of the Senate that this has no traction in the Senate whatsoever, did this feel like a lesson in futility this week?
It did not. The American people expected us to vote to repeal Obamacare. We said in our Pledge to America that we would vote to repeal Obamacare. We followed through with that. We have people on record. We had another opportunity to explain the job-killing aspects of the bill and the cost. It will increase the national debt, something that we just can't afford.
At the same time, are there alternatives being proposed, Cynthia?
Yes, there are. Each committee of jurisdiction was instructed to bring those bills to the floor. I've signed on to a bill of Marsha Blackburn's that would allow us to purchase insurance across state lines. There are individual bills for all of the aspects that were debated last year that pull the good things that are in the Obamacare bill and leave the bad behind, as well as allow more patient choice. The Republicans want to work on a much more patient and individual-centered piece of legislation or group of legislations. But those bills are going to come to the floor one by one, be debated one by one, so the American people know exactly what we're passing.
At the same time, there are 127 other things in this Obamacare bill that have nothing to do with health care. The idea of scrapping this and starting over is a pretty appealing thing to somebody like me from the outside looking in.
Absolutely, including those 1099 forms that small businesses are going to have to fill out that is just a bunch of extra paperwork and a burden on small businesses all across the country, and especially, of course, the mandate that as a condition of being an American citizen, you have to purchase a product, which is health insurance. That just runs so contrary to the American ideal. In fact, so contrary that now a majority of states, including our state of Wyoming, have joined the lawsuit against it.
Let's talk about some other things that are going on and a major concern for the state of Wyoming, and that is with no cap and trade or cap and tax bill being passed, there is some word and some thought that the EPA is trying to get the same thing done through regulation as opposed to through legislation. Is that something that the House or the Senate can even stop?
We talked about it yesterday in the organizational meeting of one of the subcommittees I'm on. I'm on three subcommittees of the House Appropriations Committee. One of them deals with Interior and the Environment. So we deal with the EPA and all of the agencies within the Department of the Interior. With regard to EPA, they had a 39% budget increase in 1 year. And they're absolutely run amok putting out new rules every week that will kill jobs. It's hurting the cement industry, agriculture, forest products, coal mining. The list goes on and on. There's almost no one that's untouched by this. And certainly their agenda of bringing climate change legislation through the rulemaking process is what is motivating Lisa Jackson, the head of the EPA, and her cohort, Carol Browner, who is the energy czar.
Again, is there anything that the legislative bodies, whether it be House or Senate, is there anything in your tools to be able to stop the EPA from doing these things?
Well, what we're going to try to do is work on a way, even though we took a pledge against earmarks, we can still use something called budget riders. And budget riders are the closest thing we have to it in Wyoming in our appropriations process in the Wyoming legislature. It's called a budget footnote. And that's where you set some instructions where you say, of this amount, no dollars or $1,000 is the cap on what you can spend on greenhouse gas rules implementation. So there are some tools that we have, and we intend to explore them and use them where they make sense. What we don't want to do with the EPA is allow them to shift dollars away from issuing permits to businesses, because then that slows down the ability of business to hire people back and get our economy going. Yeah. So it's going to be a delicate balancing act, but we intend to spend a great deal of time on this. In fact, our subcommittee chairman has said to the head of the EPA, Lisa Jackson, I'm going to give you a permanent parking place here at the Capitol because you're going to be spending a lot of time here.
Sure. China-U.S. relations in the news this week as China's head of state here visiting not only Washington, D.C., but also going into Chicago. He made some comments about U.S. currency and U.S. currency basically outliving its time, or the U.S. dollar outliving its time as a world currency. How much of a problem does that create? How much of a stir did that create in the Congress this week?
No, that is throwing down the gauntlet. The U.S. dollar is the currency by which energy is traded around the world. The U.S. currency is the currency that backs up central banks in countries all over the world. And to the extent that we move away from our currency to other currencies, we diminish American exceptionalism in the eyes of other countries in the world, and diminish our currency status as the primary trade driver. When we defer to countries like China, whose human rights records are abysmal, who are in a position to move into a more dominant role, in fact, perhaps the dominant role in the world, we are hurting our own economy, and we are diminishing the opportunity for the world to enjoy the kind of freedoms that we have, no longer being able to lead by example.
At the same time, as we continue to raise our debt ceiling, as we continue to spend more money than we have through the Congress, through the Senate, don't we leave ourselves wide open for these kinds of attacks?
Darn right we do. And one of the things that we talked about last weekend at the House Republican conference that we had in Baltimore was raising the debt ceiling. It looks like we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling because in the last 2 years, the Democrats overspent to a ridiculous amount. The analogy is that when a credit card bill comes to your house and your kids have run up a bunch of bills, you pay the bills, but then you cut up the credit card. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to pay the bills that the Democrats ran up in their romp over the U.S. economy in the last 2 years. But at the same time, we need to extract the ability to cut up the credit card, and that comes through reducing spending, and it comes through passing a balanced budget proposal, and a lot of other ways to clamp down in a way that would essentially cut up the U.S. government's credit card.
At the same time, we need to spur the economy. We need to take care of jobs. We need to do all of these things without additional dollars. How do we get that accomplished?
Well, we need to provide certainty in our tax climate. A good start is the agreement that was reached between the president and congressional leaders at the that allowed the tax system we have now to be extended for 2 more years. But we need to explore ways to spur on economic growth through the use of the tax code. through the preventing the EPA from putting these job-killing rules on our businesses. We need to unleash the private sector, the entrepreneur, to know that they're going to have the opportunity to invest and grow in this economy without having the heavy hand of the federal government get in their way.
You have you've got the opportunity to get home for a couple of days. What's next on your plate as you get right back to Washington?
Well, today I'm going to meet with the Wyoming legislature, House and Senate, and I'm going to ask them for their help in identifying rules that the federal government places on states that prevent the efficient delivery of services. And number one on my list is Medicaid. Medicaid, of course, is health care for low-income people. And we need to make sure that we are not thwarting the state's efforts to deliver those services in a more efficient manner. And, in fact, we know we are. And Senator Charles Scott has done some wonderful work in that area and has provided it to us. We need to do the same thing on other government programs that require mandatory spending on the part of the federal government and state governments and that limit their ability to do it well. And so that's what's on my agenda today and, of course, returning to Washington next week.
Cynthia, thanks so much for carving out some time for us this morning. As always, if you have any questions for Congresswoman Lummis, we've got the links available to you on our website at k2radio.com. Enjoy your next couple of days home. I know it's a working trip back home, but we'll visit with you again soon.
Thanks a bunch, Brian.
Keep up the good fight. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That is Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis again live from Cheyenne this morning as she addresses the legislature today and then returns to Washington next week.